Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to this episode of Making Shifts Happen with Dr. Stephanie Stanfield. Are you searching for answers beyond diet and exercise? Join us as Dr. Steph shares insightful tips you can use to feel better right now and valuable information about your health that you may not know. It's all served up with a healthy dose of smiles and laughter along the way. Now, here's Dr. Steph.
Hello, it's Dr. Stephanie Stanfield, and welcome to the 72nd episode of Making Shifts Happen, where we're going to inspire, inform, and motivate you to succeed with creating your optimal healing and improve your health and wellness. For those of you joining us live here on Blog Talk Radio, it's great to have you with us. If you're joining us through a podcast on your smartphone, tablet, computer, or Wi-Fi radio, a very special welcome to you as well. These podcasts are designed to bring you leading-edge information about a variety of health topics. My team and I are dedicated to bringing you this important information so you can learn about what you can do to improve your health and start living an increasingly purposeful life. We're here every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Mountain, so plan on joining us each and every week. I'm delighted to let you know that we have a guest with us today, Dr. Christopher Lepisto, and he's a naturopathic doctor. We'll get in with talking with him in just a minute, but I'd like to set the tone for the show today with a quote from Jay Stanford. It says, "Health is a state of body, wellness is a state of being." I like that as we come into our conversation with Dr. Lepisto. Dr. Lepisto is a graduate of Baxter University in Seattle, Washington. Stands what your body needs. He provides unique treatments and solutions to help your body perform at its best and maintain health through the body's natural ability to create its own vitality, rather than just treating symptoms with pharmaceuticals, which mask the underlying problems. We're going to talk a little bit about what Dr. Lepisto's seven-week recharge program is today, and I hope you listen in all the way through the end of the show. First of all, I'd like to welcome Dr. Lepisto. Are you here?
I am, Dr. Stephanie. Thank you very much for having me.
It's absolutely my pleasure. I've heard a lot about you, and I actually heard about you from some people that live in Glenwood Springs, and you're in Grand Junction. You have a valley-wide presence, I guess, is the best way to say it.
Well, very good. It's good to know that. Thank you.
Well, first of all, let's talk about, just give us a brief definition, if you would, Dr. Lepisto, about what is an ND?
Okay, a naturopathic doctor is a doctor who specializes in helping people feel better naturally. So where the approach of conventional, or what we call allopathic medicine, is to identify the disease state and the symptoms and treat those. In naturopathic medicine, we identify and treat the cause of the disease, and that is supporting the body's ability to heal itself naturally.
Which I am a firm proponent of, so thank you so much for doing this, and it's nice to have you practicing in an area that's close to where I live. So it sounds like you have created a seven-week recharge program. Would you talk to us a little bit about what that is?
Absolutely. So the seven-week recharge program that I've created is designed to help people, especially for whom caffeine doesn't work like it used to. They don't quite have the energy in the morning. They can't sustain it as much as they can when they were in a younger age. The seven-week program is designed to identify and treat the cause of that fatigue and support the body's own ability to have the vitality that's inherent. And, you know, I always think back to these people in Okinawa, Japan. There was a study called the Okinawa Project. And I'm telling you, they have 97-year-old karate instructors over there. The reason that they were studied is, I mean, it's amazing, really. Like, I don't buy that aging idea that, oh, we're getting old and we're simply going to be tired and we're going to hurt. So that's the idea, is let's find out what the vitality is that someone is capable of and give them a chance to get there.
I agree wholeheartedly. And I just saw something about 100-yard runners for 100-year-olds. It's just fascinating how part of our society has said, well, if you're old enough, you can't do anything. And there's this rebellious society that says, no, age is simply a number.
Yes, that's right. Now, it's not that we don't consider the fact of a normal aging process. Women are not supposed to give childbirth up into their 80s and 90s. You know, there are certain changes. There is a natural menopausal change for women. And I honor that in terms of looking at somebody's body and what is what's their capability. It's more like, let's find out. You know, you hear these stories of these unusual people, and they really are, who are 90 and 100-year-olds who are doing runs. But there is that example for us, and it's like, I wonder what's going on with them. What are they doing, and what can we learn from them?
So this takes us into our second question. Why is it important for us to identify and then treat the cause of fatigue?
Right. So the simple answer is that 7 different people with fatigue have 7 different reasons that they have that and need 7 different treatment plans. So let's take low energy, for example. One of the very common factors, both for men and women, is thyroid function. Although it's more common for women to have a hypothyroid state than men, that is one piece that we want to look at and say, well, what is the status of the thyroid gland? We can do tests. Many of these are conventional tests, the thyroid stimulating hormone, also known as a TSH. Those are typically run at health fair labs, at health fairs. These sorts of tests can begin to offer information that says, oh, well, is there a thyroid issue? Something else that can contribute is a low state of iron in the body, what we know as anemia, one form of anemia, iron deficiency anemia. And so if there's a history of a woman having bleeding, or also very common because of our high rate of colon cancer, very slow bleeding into the digestive tract, that over time, that loss of blood can lead to anemic state in a man as well. We want to look at those things and make sure we're not missing that piece. Another piece that's easily identified with some laboratory testing. So the main thing I'm doing with people is asking those questions early on. Let's see if we can identify and treat the cause. I would also say this, that most of us have a sense of something that we know we need to be attending to already that could help us with our energy. Right?
Well,
you know, like
yes, and in preparation for this program, I went ahead and got, I've already had a book on adrenal fatigue, and I went and got and bought one on thyroid, because even though my tests show normal, I do have slight fatigue and I have sleep apnea, so I'll show normal. So what would be some common causes of this fatigue that might not be related necessarily, or it might not show up in the normal tests that you get run at doctor's offices?
Right. Yeah, I like how you put that. It might not show up in the testing. That is a state of, in naturopathic medicine, what we call euthyroid sick. What it means is somebody has either most of or many of the symptoms of a low-functioning thyroid, but the laboratory tests don't show it. And that includes an extended panel often. So the extended panel beyond what, say, at the health fair would be a TSH, the thyroid stimulating hormone, and then the two thyroid hormones, free T3 and free T4, the circulating levels of those at both the active, the T3, and the inactive form, T4, of the thyroid. Those numbers can look perfectly fine, and somebody still has the symptoms. So that's where it's important to do something like a physical exam. And I would be looking for things like dry skin, Queen Anne sign, which is lateral thinning of the eyebrows, hair loss in general beyond that isn't explained. Like, for example, because of my grandfather, oh, well, that makes sense why I've got balding, right? This is me I'm referring to.
Mm-hmm.
That there's
mm-hmm.
a hair loss for another reason, cold extremities, cold intolerance, constipation. Think about the whole thermostat getting turned down and running slow, weight gain along with that. So those
mm-hmm.
if those pieces are there, I may look at the labs and say, okay, good that you don't have an overt thyroid issue, but I may say, it sure looks like you could use some thyroid support. You've got the symptoms.
Right, right. So we'll circle back. What might be some common causes of some issues with the thyroid?
Well, thyroid usually is multifaceted. Number one, I would say an American Western lifestyle. That's one of the first things. This will affect the adrenals as well. But when we are too busy and we don't get enough rest, there isn't enough restoration of the thyroid gland or the adrenal gland or other parts of the body as well. And that may immediately start contributing. There is a degree sometimes of a food allergy that can play in. Iodine deficiency is another one that's actually quite commonly missed because iodine is, it's honestly gotten a bit of a bad rap. Like the use of iodine as a therapy, while it needs to be done very carefully, if it's done appropriately and for someone who needs it, I have a woman in particular who had an enlarged thyroid, what we call a goiter. She went on iodine therapy and that enlargement was going down. She was able to swallow more easily. She had less constriction in her throat, and it was simply she didn't have enough iodine. So the other piece of that really affects thyroid is the presence of chemicals or heavy metals. It's not a classic association, for example, lead in osteoporosis, mercury in neurological issues. Those are more classic. There may be more of a subtle picture, but I'm looking at what is somebody's use of chemicals in their job or hobby? Have they worked with paints, stains, solvents, cleaners? What we'll call the toxic burden and things that may be affecting the thyroid, which is a very sensitive organ.
And I was talking with my advisor for my PhD program. You may have heard of him, Dr. Norm Shealy. He's talking about
Absolutely.
The increase in radiation, especially since the Japanese meltdown and those types of things, and how you can
Fukushima
best protect your thyroid.
Plant, you bet. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, we have a changing world in terms of our exposure.
Yes. Yes, and a lot of times what we thought were harmless chemicals, I mean, when I grew up, we used to follow the truck spraying DEET around so that we would get it on our skin so that we wouldn't get some mosquito bitten.
I remember that. There are stories of that here in the Grand Valley, what, behind the spray trucks in Palisade. That because we have a lot of irrigation in Grand Junction in this Grand Valley, Western Colorado. That was the same story I've heard from some of my older patients. And
yes.
You know, what's interesting is that standard really that the FDA created was designed to make sure that nobody was acutely poisoned and died from the exposure. The tolerance was, well, they're not acutely sick from it, so that must be fine. What we're finding out now is it's that total accumulation over years and years, decades, that is having that greater effect that isn't considered when the FDA says, oh, well, this chemical is safe for use with humans.
Right, right. And again, I appreciate so much you staying on top of this and letting my listeners know all of what's happening, what's going on, what kind of things to look for, what lifestyle changes are here. We'll talk a little bit more about those in the second half of the show. But again, like I said, we followed the deep trucks around. Our dentist gave us mercury to play with.
Right.
What can somebody who's in an older age bracket do to maybe detoxify
mm-hmm.
a little bit of
well,
this lifelong exposure?
Yes, absolutely. The first thing to acknowledge is that we all have a degree of exposure. Literally, every human has some rocket fuel derivative in their body. It's because it's been used so ubiquitously, so much use of chemicals around the world, like DDT, we all have trace amounts in our body. So we want to acknowledge that it really is, there isn't an ability to remove that completely from the body. That's not what's critical. The main thing is to do it in such a way that the body can handle the detoxification or the cleansing. So literally today, I had a patient who was telling me a story about the support we were doing for her liver that was causing her to basically have a flu-like illness. In other words, she was eliminating so much from her liver into her digestive tract, into her bloodstream, that she felt really sick. So the key is...
Mm-hmm.
Understanding, and this is where a professional can help, understand what you're working with. Somebody who was in Vietnam, who was working with Agent Orange, or who was on the front lines, is going to, well, and honestly, unfortunately, most of those men are dead at this point. If they were in the acute exposure, there are very few surviving. If there was a secondary exposure to Agent Orange, that's a different story than somebody, say, who had a renovated home from just before when lead paint was banned, and there was maybe some residual paint around the property, something like that. That might be a smaller exposure. We can do things like heavy metal testing in the body. And so it's partly looking at, well, what are we working with to detoxify? But I can tell you one of the simple things that I love to do personally and that I promote is a technique called dry skin brushing. And this is the largest organ of, right. It just feels so good. And you'll see the drier skin, softer skin, from 10 days to 2 weeks of doing this. Dry skin brushing is the technique of using a nice long handle wooden brush with those soft, usually horsehair bristles. Before every shower or bath, you're doing strokes on the skin towards the heart. This is the largest organ of detoxification in the body. Think of all that surface area. As you're removing the dead skin cells with this brushing, you're also encouraging the circulatory and lymphatic return. In other words, the cleansing of the lymphatic and circulatory systems. You're encouraging the pores to open. I do it before I do saunas. It doesn't really matter. Usually I recommend patients do it before showers or bath or baths as a daily detoxification ritual.
Yes. And we're coming up on time for commercial. So if you'll just pause for just a second, I hate to interrupt you. This is fascinating. But we do have a short commercial. And please remember that the audio that was a bonus with the free report is no longer available. We'll be back in just 1 minute with Dr. Christopher Lepistow. And I'm so looking forward to the second half of our show. Please stay with us.
Stress is so common in our fast-paced society right now. We don't realize how much it depletes us and how much time and energy we spend just trying to get through our day. What if you knew ways to manage your stress and your energy so that you would have more energy at the end of every day? Did you know that with a little help and information on the Calm Moms free report, you can begin relieving your stress? Start feeling more peaceful right away. Get your life back on track and become more efficient with your time and time management. Relieve pain. And this is important for moms and their children. Have fewer doctor visits and suffer less from illness. You can sign up for this Calm Moms free report on www.makingshiftshappen.com/calm-moms-free-report. Go to Making Shifts Happen right now and register for this life-changing free report. Remember, this life-enhancing report is absolutely free. And as a special bonus, if you act right now, you'll be sent an audio of the main tips to remind you of how to be peaceful and calm. This Calm Moms free report in audio is a limited-time offer. So act right now to get your special bonus.
We are back with Dr. Christopher Lepistow, naturopathic doctor, and he practices in Grand Junction. We were talking about, interestingly enough, dry skin brushing right before our break, and I have done that for quite a while. I'm so glad to hear that it's something that you advocate, and it's something that our listeners can do very, very easily for themselves. Let's get into talking a little bit about adrenal glands. You mentioned them earlier, as well as the thyroid. But what are adrenal glands, and why is their health important for energy?
So the adrenal glands sit on top of the kidneys. Adrenal means above kidney. They're these tiny little fatty pyramid-shaped organs that sit right on top of the kidneys that help us respond to stress. So the classic adrenal response that most of us know is the fight or flight response. That's we see a bear, our pulse quickens, we get a release of adrenaline and other hormones that prepare us to do running and other things for survival. So they help us modulate that kind of response. On a more moderate level, every single day, our cortisol levels rise to their highest point first thing in the morning, and then steadily decline throughout the day. That is a normal response so that our body can get up and moving from sleep and can help us deal with whatever comes our way.
And I remember, and I've talked to my listeners about this, anyone who's been a longtime listener, they know that that the adrenals are attached to the sympathetic nervous system, and there is not a parasympathetic nerve access to the adrenals. And I really found it interesting when someone in some of the research I was doing said the adrenals were not recognized early on for their role in adrenaline production and those types of things. They would just get on top of the kidneys. And now we're finding out so much more about how important they are and how the adrenal fatigue can actually set in. Would you like to talk with us a little bit more about that, please?
Yes. So what happens in an adrenal fatigue state is that we get the signal to run from bears too much, too often. So the body is designed to do that, but we're not supposed to run from bears all the time. When that signal happens, the first thing is that we'll enter what's called an alarm phase. This is Hans Selye and the maladaptation syndrome. The body goes into a state of alert, such as when, where, oh my gosh, what's the next thing that's going to come to me? Oh my gosh, right? And that's that overt state of alarm that people will go through. You actually have quite a phase of alarm to go through before you get even to any form of adrenal exhaustion. Adrenal exhaustion is actually a pretty advanced stage. And most people in the Western society, if they have reasonable vitality, are probably in more of an alarm type state. This is important because the analogy I like to use is from yin and yang, and that's the Chinese perspective. Yin is that cool, dark, feminine, restful energy, versus yang, which is bright, masculine, directed, energetic, go targeting, let's go to that point over there, let's go. Most people with that alarm phase, they need to build their yin. They need more restful, like if they were to do a yoga practice, it should be a restorative practice, not a hot yoga or one of those super athletic versions. And this is something that may not be an initial impression. You may think, I got to push this, I got to go, I got to get my energy back. And so what often happens is, I'm going to use a 40-something-year-old female who's starting to feel the first signs of adrenal fatigue, and she goes to the gym every day. She's like, I'm going to do this. She cleans up what she's eating. But lo and behold, she's gaining weight, and her energy has not improved at all. The solution in this case is not to build that young, bright energy, but rather focus on the restoration. Look at the causes of the stress in your life and more specifically how you're dealing with them. Because remember, stress is something, if we want to get stronger, we go climb a mountain and our body compensates from that stress. So it's that restorative piece that I'm really encouraging people to look at in their own lives. That's something I'm actually working with in terms of certain herbs. Licorice is a little too stimulating for somebody in an alarm phase, but more of an ashwagandha or this, like these adaptogenic herbs, rhodiola. These are classic herbs that are used to rebuild the function of the adrenals.
Well, and that leads us into our next topic of conversation, which is nutrition. Is there certain things that can increase the yin and hopefully help that restorative healing process really occur more naturally?
Well, I used to joke with a yoga instructor here who is one of those people with, in the Ayurvedic tradition, she has a lot of vata, this air quality, which is she's very intelligent, very bright, sharp, quick moving, like she's very intelligent. And she's the person who, where are my glasses? Oh, they're on my head. Oh, where are my car keys? Oh, they're in my pocket. When she gets out of balance, she gets really spacey. And I used to joke with her, I just want to sit her down and be like, here's some bone broth, and just spoon feed it to her. You know, just sit down, have some bone broth, relax. That building type of nourishing. I'm a big proponent of high quality, organic, farm-raised animal products. Raw milk when it's appropriately obtained from a farmer that you know the source. Eggs, you know, a lovely food. I don't require my patients to eat meat, but I really encourage it because there's a certain amount of, I'll just call it nutrient density. Of course, I love fruits and vegetables as well, and they have their place, but there's something very nourishing about certain animal products. And I'll even use the example in the adrenals of giving adrenal gland. The Chinese tradition is you use the parts of the animal that you're trying to restore in the human body. Adrenal gland to restore adrenal function, thyroid glandulars to restore thyroid function, or even the Vietnamese pho soup, which is that you can order a soft tendon soup. Guess what that's good for? Your joints
tendons.
And your cartilage. Yeah, and it's lovely. They cook it right. It chews like dumplings. It's, you know, it's not like chewing on a chicken ligament. It's just cooked down to a really soft state over many hours. And that's the idea. How can we restore some of these parts of the human body? So that includes the adrenals, adrenal fatigue. Bone broth is something I wouldn't necessarily call it specific for the adrenals. For example, a woman who's anemic or has bone density issues, it could also be helpful, but it's very, very grounding.
Wonderful. You mentioned somebody who exercises, and that might not be the best solution at a certain point. What exercise is most beneficial as you're looking at the whole person that might be, say, in adrenal fatigue, and you mentioned a gentler yoga. What else is would you recommend in talking with a client or a patient?
Right. Well, the first thing I would say is along the lines of something that's restorative for them and not burning their reserves, what do they most enjoy? So if somebody doesn't like myself, I just don't like going to the gymnasium. I don't like the crowds. I'm not into the hair and the outfits. I'm not saying everybody does who's at gymnasiums. I just don't find that particularly an enjoyable way for exercise for me. You can find something that works for you. It's maybe walking the dog every day. I had a patient who, the thing that was holding him back is he didn't have a walking stick. He was worried about falling. And so he got himself a walking stick, and lo and behold, he started this tradition of walking every day. He's starting to lose some weight, and that's something that can be perfectly restorative. It might be something more formal as a restorative yoga practice, or it could be a Tai Chi practice, or it could be painting or writing poetry or playing an instrument. I mean, really, just go with it. Imagine something that you could see yourself doing. Maybe it's something new. You know, sometimes when people get sick, it's the perfect opportunity for them to try. You know, I always wanted to try a ballroom dancing class. You know, something that they just feel like it could be relaxing for them. I mean, I just come up with this idea. Or a painting class is another one. We've got some studios in Grand Junction. They combine like a social evening, a glass of wine and some painting. If that sounds enjoyable to someone, maybe that's what I'm getting at. Of course, I'm encouraging the actual physical activity and movement as well. But there is everything.
We only
for
have
example,
a couple.
Bone... Oh, yes. Go ahead.
We only have a couple minutes left. So I'd just like to get in some quick questions because you've
sure.
really opened my eyes to some possibilities. One of the questions I ask my client, Ferret, is, are you exercising because you think it's good for you, or are you exercising with something you truly enjoy doing? So it sounds
mm-hmm.
like those are some of the things that you pull out of your clients. But I'd just like to ask you, because I end my episodes with these questions, what is your favorite success quote?
You know, I just think of this quote from Hippocrates, which is, it's much more important to know what kind of person has a disease than the kind of disease a person has. And what that really means is, and you don't have to be a doctor to do this, like get to know who you are. The risk of protocol medicine is that everybody does the same thing, and you can do this with natural medicines for high blood pressure. Everyone can take L-carnitine and CoQ10 and Hawthorn berry extract. But if you get to know like who you are and the causes of why you're in the state of health you're in, then you know where you can put your attention and direction towards better health.
What healing tool do you use every day?
Well, I happen to love cod liver. Yes, I happen to love cod liver oil, and I'm going to say it's a little bit odd. I acknowledge that. I mean, I really, really like it. But I think it's something genetic. I'm Finnish Norwegian by heritage. I mean, I just feel great when I drink that stuff. I don't mind the taste. I know it's not the same thing my grandmother gave my mother, but it's such a high quality these days. It's lemon flavored, no problem. I really can feel the difference. I feel a better immune status over the winter. My skin is softer, and I just like the way it feels in my body.
Well, we have reached the end of our show. I'd like to thank Dr. Lepisto for joining us. And hopefully you'll be with us next week, and Thank you for joining us on our show today.
Dr. Stephanie, my pleasure. Thank you so much.